This episode of the Oh No 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 podcast is sponsored by Dynamic Industrial Services, the rope access specialists. As long-time Wraith Rover supporters, we are very familiar with ropey performances. But if you need a service that's more Sam Stanton than Willie Accio, look no further than DIS. Operating across Scotland, they specialise in working at height, offering maintenance, inspection, repairs, and more. So if you've got a problem at a height that even John Fredrickson can't reach, visit dynamicindustrialservices.co.uk to find out more.
It's mid-April and the Lynx market has rolled into town, but as ever, the emotional roller coaster of Wraith Rovers continues on. Welcome to the Oh No 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 podcast, where today we're going to be taking a look back as Partick Thistle and Wraith Rovers played out a 0-0 stalemate yesterday afternoon. My name's Robbie Weir, and tonight I'm joined firstly by Callum Blythe. Callum, how are you doing?
My camera's working for now. This is an improvement.
We'll see how long it lasts. Scott Fleming, how you doing, Scott?
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, we're now getting into the sort of better weather and everything now, so hopefully everything's going to brighten up and we'll get a good run to the end of the season before the playoffs begin.
You say that, but Vivaldi would have been proud of the four seasons that took place yesterday. There was some absolutely disgusting conditions. Every 5 minutes came along and then it switched between rain and just wind and then back to the sunshine. And then finally, a man with a curiosity in the background there, Mr. Leslie Mabin. Leslie, how are you doing?
I am just about waking up again after the game yesterday, but very happy and a bit more energised to have got my Kyle Turner shirt through the post in the club shop after the Louis Vaughan game. So a nice wee addition to the collection. I'm looking
Good
forward
stuff.
To chatting about the game today.
That's excellent. Well, again, don't let the scoreline fool you. I think there's still enough to talk about for this game to keep us occupied for the next hour or so. We'll just start with the lineups. So, Scott, were you happy to see a return to two centre-backs? Ewan Murray not sent to the farm. He was back in the starting lineup with Keith Watson there. What were your thoughts when you saw that we'd return to two natural centre-backs?
I was pretty happy, to be fair. I think most people were asking for it, especially now that they were kind of both announced as being match ready. So I thought everybody was quite pleased to see that these two were back, and if we can please just get a run of games with these two fit together, it'll make everything just seem a little bit less chaotic at times, because there's been so many times this season that we've either had Brown and Murray, or we've had Watson and Brown, or we've had very rarely Corr and somebody. Like it's now, if we can get that settled back four and then get Brown back into midfield more often, yet again we've seen Scott Brown sort of back to what we know that he can do yesterday as well. I thought he equipped himself really well in midfield, and that he was breaking up play, he was getting passes going, he was doing what he needs to be doing in midfield. And, I mean, he picked up a booking as well, but that's just the sort of game that he can bring in midfield. So, no, I think if we can stick with that through the playoffs as well, then I think it should be quite positive for the rest of the season.
Yeah, for me, I think that's probably going to be one of the big what-ifs of this season, is people looking and sort of saying, if we'd had been able to get a more consistent pairing of two centre-halves who are naturalised in the position, and that's not to do any disrespect to Scott Brown, because he's done a really, really good job there. but at the same time, you feel that there's so much benefit to having him in field. And that was going to actually be my next question for you, Leslie. Scott Brown obviously comes back in and he goes into the heart of midfield, really into the engine room, and puts in an assured performance there. Were you quite happy to see him back in that role, charging about the middle of the pitch?
I was delighted to see Scott Brown back in there. And I think, like you were just saying, it really underlines for me what we've missed by having to use Scott Brown as a centre-back. Now, just to be clear, like I've said before, Scott Brown has not been bad as a centre-back. I think if you look across the games where he's played there, I don't think, like Dylan Gore or even somebody from the last season like Ryan Nolan or Tom Lang was going to be significantly better. But it's just we've missed that so much. I mean, even, you know, the Airdrie game in the middle of last week, in the second half when we had Brown in the midfield, just what he adds, the energy he adds, the tackles he's putting in. And you know, we all know that was the real quality that he brought to us last year. And it was just a reminder that we've been missing that on so many occasions. I think it was only about 3 or 4 minutes into the game before he put his first big tackle in, sliding through somebody and knocking the ball away. And you're thinking, yeah, this is one of the things that we've really missed. So it was great to see him back. I mean, like Scott says, I think that will be, I think, really key for the playoffs, is just getting our centre-backs fit and being able to use Scott Brown at the base of that midfield. But no, delighted to see him back, and particularly given that the Partick fans had mocked us on social media so much last year in that 3-0 game when we didn't have him. They're like, oh, you guys, they're making out that Scott Brown's like Xavier and Iniesta. And then it turned out there was a big hole in the middle of the park and we lost 3-0. So having him back there, not very pleased to see it, and long may it continue.
Yeah, I think it comes back to football's a great thing for sound bites, and I was just frantically googling there the Bill Shankly quote, which is, a football team's like a piano, you need 8 men to carry it and 3 men who can play the damn thing. And that's Scott Brown in there, and I think we really got a lift from him being back in the middle of the pitch, and it almost carries over. You saw Sam Stanton going into tackles quite heavily and being able to charge about and win the ball, and those two in particular. Yeah, just really great at being able to break up attacks and be able to win back the ball and sort of get a turnover so that we could potentially go on attacks. Callum, I'm just going to ask you a more general question. So obviously that saw us naturally with those changes coming to a more natural shape. Did that feel, leave you with a bit more positivity going into this game? I know that you were obviously less infused about the Airdrie game, but how did you feel about this one?
Yeah, seeing the lineup and seeing we had the two centre halves, Brown was back in midfield, it was encouraging. We did look to have a attacking lineup, but one that had defensive solidity that having Scott Brown in the midfield brings. And it was a bit like that. Like we were a lot more threatening compared to Tuesday, and even I'd say compared to last Saturday. I'd say we went forward a lot more. It was just a shame that we didn't have that extra bit to get a goal. But I was happy with it.
Good. Yeah, and I think that's probably a feeling across the Rover support to, ideally for the next few games, if we can get that sort of lineup put together and be able to carry on that basis, that we've got the players in their more natural positions, I feel like that it would be something that would serve us well going forward. So Scott, the main chance of the first half felt as Zach Ruddon, a ball gets crossed into the box and his headers, to be honest, it's well saved by Mitchell, he makes a comfortable save. Do you think that was a sort of a positive start, and just your thoughts on that opportunity there?
Yeah, I think for the first half in general, it was kind of a half full of half chances, to be honest. I don't think either team really created too much. But yeah, I think Zach Ruddon's chance was our best chance of the first half. And I rewatched the highlights, and I feel like Ruddon possibly would think that he should have done a little bit better with it. At first, I thought, oh, that's a really good save. And then I went, actually, it's not as good as I thought it was when I first seen it. But then, yeah, I think he possibly should maybe look to try and get it more into the bottom corner. But yeah, I mean, you're kind of just reacting on how the defender in front of him's reacting, whether he thinks that that defender's going to get in front of him, I don't know. But yeah, it's it was really our only big chance in that first half. And yeah, we didn't score it. But at the same time, I wasn't too worried at the time because Partick also weren't really creating much. And I thought that we actually had a lot of control in the first half just without creating too much. I thought we passed the ball quite well at times and we involved pretty much the full team in a lot of going down both sides. But yeah, Partick were defending fairly well and kind of just limited us to a few crosses into the box and whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it, for me, with that Ruddon chance, when I saw it initially, I thought, oh, that's a really, really good save from David Mitchell. But I did kind of wonder, looking back, if you think that Ruddon's either a little bit further forward or a little bit further back, then he might have a better opportunity just because the keeper's going to be sort of in the middle of the goal. But I think it's difficult to get it one way or the other, or the side of the keeper. You're just trying to get it on target first and foremost. But outside of that, Leslie, probably the huge moment of the first half was a player that Partick Thistle fans have been quite vociferous, shall we say, in their praise of this season, Aidan Fitzpatrick, who they're quite keen, they suspect will likely be moving on in the summer, potentially for a fee, given how his performances have been. He cut inside without his partner, Stevie Lawless, to help him out this week. He cut inside and managed to cannon a shot off the bar. So just your thoughts on the performance of Fitzpatrick overall and, yeah, that chance there.
I think Fitzpatrick is one of these players who, if you ask us, we actually did this, I think, mid-season, one of the pods, you know, you say, well, if you're looking at players from other teams that you'd like to pick up, you think he's one of these guys that he's always going to be a nuisance. He's always got that quality in you to hurt you. Probably one of the most dangerous players that Partick have, just because he's got the strength, he's got the pace, and he can unleash these cannons of shots. You know, he would be ideal for my Pro Evo team back in the day. You know, cutting inside and unleashing shots from outside the box. You know, he's an absolute nuisance, and you know, it doesn't surprise me to hear that he's likely to be moving on. Presumably, to you could see him going to somewhere like Kilmarnock or somewhere like that, or Dundee or somewhere in the middle of the Premier League. You could definitely see him moving on. So it took me a minute to figure out what actually happened when the shot hit the bar, because it took a deflection at some point, and then Ewan Murray went down, and then I was chalking one up again. Okay, right, this is the fourth time in five games or whatever that Ewan Murray has taken one in the dish, but I don't think it was Murray it hit off somebody anyway. It took a bit of a deflection, it crashed back off the bar, but yeah, that was one of the ones where, yeah, like you say, I think on the whole, it kind of summed up this game. So there's a reason that the games between the Rovers and Partick have been close all season. You know, we're probably pretty similar in terms of the kind of trajectory we're on as teams. We're probably two of the teams with the bigger squads and the better quality squads in the Championship, who've both been very good at attacking, but have both, for different reasons, sort of dialed it back a bit in recent weeks. And you know, and I think it's one of these ones where, you know, they had chances, we had chances. It didn't have the feel of a dead rubber to it, and shots like that kind of made you realise why. It didn't feel like a sort of end of season dead rubber. You did have both teams that were actually giving it a good go, and that shot was a good example of that. And you know, kind of came not long before the break, when we were kind of thinking, well, you know, that was one of their first real chance, and after all the corners and things we'd had, it would have been a real bummer if they'd scored off that, but thankfully they didn't.
Yeah, I think that Fitzpatrick, he's a player that's had, again, he went down to Norwich and he had a spell down there as sort of like playing, I think, must have been under 23's level. And then he came back up the road and had a loan spell with Queen of the South, where I don't think he did too much. I don't quote me on that. It might be that he was absolutely inspirational for them, but I can't really recall him doing too much. And then he's gone back to Partick and really kicked on, which is, when you see lads go down south, you always, to be honest, whatever club they're going from, it's always good to see Scottish guys doing well down south, because you support the Scottish game and you want to see players do well. But yeah, he is one of their standout players, and I think it was interesting. I was listening to Draw, Lose or Draw, which is the Partick Thistle podcast beforehand, and they sort of pointed out that they'd done really well to get to this point in the season using both Lawless and Fitzpatrick, because they only have two wingers. McKenzie isn't a winger, I think the lad is, that they had in place. Callum, that brought us to sort of half-time. where Ian Murray actually made a change at halftime, which was to bring Kyle Turner off. Now, were you quite surprised to see that change, and how did you think Turner impacted the game?
I was quite surprised. I thought he had a decent first half, like he was bringing the ball forward, which is sort of what he is there to do. But yeah, who replaced him? Was it Smith?
It was Dylan Easton.
It was Dylan Easton, yeah. I thought that was a weird one. But I suppose it did bring extra... I'm trying to think, we switched to a 4-2-2 at that point. It would have been Smith and Rudden up front. Yeah. And Smith started. Aye, so it would have been having two strikers up front. And I feel like we were better when we had the two strikers. Looks like we were better without Turner, but I don't think he did anything wrong. He had a decent game, so I thought it was a bit harsh. I was a bit surprised. I thought it would have been another 10, 15 minutes before we made any changes, because we were doing quite well that first half.
Yeah, it's hard to say whether it's been a knock or something that's maybe been noticed, and he's sort of said, I'll play until half time and then we see how we do. But no, I would agree with you. I thought that Turner was actually playing quite well in the first half. Again, I'm probably more into the camp of being a Turner fan. I know that not everyone's in that position. And there was an interesting chat within our sort of WhatsApp where, was it yourself, Scott, that was sort of saying, nah, it wasn't, the performance wasn't for you. But I was saying, I think he's done all right. I think the second half rolls around, and again, sort of conditions, the wind starts to become a bit of a factor again, like it did last Saturday. But yeah, we had six shots on goal over the course of the game. The main sort of one of the main chances in the second half did actually fall to Callum Smith, who sort of had a sort of swipe at a ball in the penalty box that fell to him. Scott, just what did you make in the second half? Because I mean, I think it's probably fair to say that there weren't many clear cut chances, but at the same time, Rovers did have quite a lot of the ball in the Partick half, and we were kind of edging towards their goal.
Yeah, no, I thought second half, I felt like we looked like we were creating, or whether it was a bit deceiving, it just felt like we were creating a slight bit more clear-cut chances anyway than the first half. I mean, we got more crosses into the box. We just, our passing seemed to be a bit more, just that little bit more direct and that little bit more quicker as well. And again, it was the same in midweek. Everything was so slow, and I don't think we were as slow as we were on Tuesday night, but everything was just that little bit slower, and then it gets to the second half, and it's almost as like Murray's went, look guys, you know that yous are good footballers here, just play, just keep going, and then it's given them maybe a little kick up the ass, and yeah, they've ended up just playing that little bit quicker, and yeah, once we start playing like that, there is a lot of teams that they struggle to contend with us at that point as well, and Partick, I mean, they're a good footballing side as well, but I thought that, yeah, we created arguably the better chances. I mean, they had a couple as well, but I think with that Callum Smith one, I thought he was extremely lucky. I thought it was superb defending. Was it Harry Milne that blocked it? I think he did brilliantly to slide in front of that, because it's a goal. Even if it's close to Mitchell, he's 5-6 yards out. He's got no time to react to it. And I think he'd hit it pretty... Yeah. Like solid as well, so I just don't think he would have reacted in time. So I think Smith was unlucky with it. And then I think also in the second half, was it Josh Mullen put in a good ball for a free kick? And Ewan Murray headed it wide again. I think that's the sort of one that Murray probably is kicking himself that he didn't get on target, because it looked very similar to the sort of one he scored at Firhill a few weeks ago. So yeah, I think he would have been a bit annoyed that he didn't even at least test the keeper out with it. But yeah, I think second half we looked fine, and then Dylan Easton at the end of the game tried to emulate Scott Brown at one point against Dundee United, where he's followed it just over the bar. It was unlucky, but fair play for at least trying it. If you, as they say, if you don't shoot, you won't score. So you might as well go for it at that 100%. Point.
I mean, you can pass the ball. That was a complaint that I had right up until that Dundee United game that last season. We'd take pot shots from the edge of the box, and then I was sitting there. It was a bit of a gripe of mine, and then Scott Brown says, I'll just have a go against Dundee United, and lashes one into the top corner for an absolute wonder goal. One of the players that did have a really good chance, actually, Leslie, was Lewis Vaughan. He came on the hour mark replace Zach Rudden. He had a certain volley from the edge of the box that sort of went wide, but obviously with you following it on Ref TV and sort of watching the highlights, did you feel it gave it a bit of a lift? Because that was sort of the impression that was in the South Stand when Vaughan came on, given that he's not played much football over the last few games.
Definitely. I'd had a bit of a moan kind of to myself about Vaughan being on the bench during the week against Airdrie, because I know he's not been 100%, and it's absolutely right and sensible that we rest him. I had kind of thought, though, that if he's not even able to give us 10 minutes in an emergency, and when you're, effectively 10, 15 minutes away from going out of the title hunt, if you can't bring him on, then why was he even on the bench on Tuesday? However, Airdrie had scored their third, and if they hadn't, who knows? Nonetheless, I think it was fine if he felt up to it and we were able to get some time out of him. It was great to get him on. Because, what I think I'd kind of felt, particularly in the first half, was we had a lot of corners, but we were doing nothing remotely dangerous in and around the box. And that's been a big part of us actually being a lot more dangerous, I think, in the box this season, is a fit and firing Louis Vaughan. And so getting him on, and he comes on, and pretty soon after, what does he do? He cracks a shot that just sails very close to being on target, and that he brings that on as well near the end as well, and brought a free kick in from the left. Definitely did just give us a lot more. And if it turns out that actually resting him rather than trying to cook our goose and trying to get too much out of him in that run of games in the week, then that'll end up being a very wise decision. But yeah, absolutely, just the lift that he gives us when he came on, the quality he gives us, his ability to just get that control and get a shot away through a crowded field of bodies is something that we're going to really need in the playoffs. And I was very glad to see him back, and he just adds so much more danger to our attack when he's at 100% and on the pitch.
Yeah, Callum, you'll probably have noticed that being in the South Stand yourself, like me, that there was a bit of a lift in terms of Louis Vaughan coming on, and there was a few moments down towards the main stand side where you'll have probably noticed it yourself, where players were just sort of taking on Millen and driving basically into the box. So yeah, just your perspective on that as well. And obviously as well, Jack Hamilton came on as well later on in the second half, offered a bit of directness. Just your thoughts on sort of that change and how we were looking towards the end of the game.
Yeah, we were definitely on top towards the end of the game. To add on to Leslie's point, when it comes to corners, it's weird how Vaughan seems to be our biggest threat, because he's not the tallest. He's like, what, 5'10", or something like that. It's always weird how he's the one who's like our biggest threat, aside from maybe you and Murray. But yeah, he came on and he brought that feel good factor. He has that sort of aura around him where it's just like you see him come on, it's like, this is it, this is gonna be great, because he can do it. He does bring us a lot more fight, a lot more going forward. He is probably our best player at doing that, and he's our top goal scorer, so it does bring that sort of hope. And we were a lot better with him on the pitch in those last 30 minutes. Same with Hamilton. Hamilton coming on, doing what I sort of like to see whenever I do the things where it's like with him and Rudden, it's like their sort of job is to pretty much just be a nuisance. That's pretty much what the task force is for a Reef Rovers striker. It's not to score goals, it's just to be a nuisance when you come on for like the last 20 minutes.
I think that it's quite interesting how football's probably changed over the last, especially since like it's moved to being 4-5-1s as being like the, or 4-2-3-1s as being like the more common formation, because you're number 10, like your centre forward, having a number 10's obviously more into the sort of what was previously the attacking midfielder role. And then your number 9's less of a goal scorer, I feel, nowadays, in sort of like tactical terms. But yeah, to end the match, it almost ended spectacularly with Thistle tremendously cracking the bar, bring on Blair Alston for a free kick, subbed him on, and then his first touch of the ball is just to hit a free kick, which then crashes off the bar. So, Scott, were you a bit terrified at that moment that we were going to be dropping dropping a potential point there as the game came to a close. Just your thoughts on that chance?
Yeah, I mean, well, I was kind of, I think, mid-message to the group chat, and then I went, actually, that free kick's a bit closer than I would have liked, and then realised they've just brought on Blair Alston, who I have seen take free kicks before, but even back in his Falkirk days, so you know that the boy's got at least a decent set piece on him, so I was very glad that he smacked the bar and wasn't barring in, but I was mid-message going second place secured, and I was like, actually, I better hold that just until this free kick's taken, because if that goes in, then Partick, then I've got the slightest glimmer of hope catching us. But I think even if they had won, well, it was still going to be far too much to ask them to do in three games. So, no,
I think
they still have to play Dundee United.
Aye, but that's going to be a big rubber on the last game anyways. It's last game of the season, so it's going to mean nothing to them. I mean, to be honest, you'll probably see both teams not even playing their best teams, because, well, A, Dundee United will have likely won the league before that final game, and then B, Partick will be thinking, oh, well, we've got playoffs midweek, so we don't want to be getting anybody injured. They've already lost Lawless as well, so... But other than that, no, I think fair play to the boy. It was a good hit, but, yeah, it was lucky that it came off the bar, and, yeah, I mean... I think 0-0 probably was the correct result in the end. It was not a classic. It's not going to go down as a memorable game, but it's at the same time, it certainly wasn't the worst 0-0 that I'd watched.
Yeah, 100%. To be honest, I don't think any of the 0-0 that we had before the Queen's Park game seemed like one that was littered with decent chances for us. I wasn't at the game, but I like, caught the highlights, and it seemed like we were very, basically a Callum Ferry-inspired performance stopped us from getting all 3 points. The 0-0 before that, the Morton game, was absolutely dire. Very, very forgettable in terms of our performance. So that result saw Dundee United obviously move 6 points clear, and I think anyone with as much as people will run the line that anything can happen in football is pretty much a bridge too far, effectively, I feel, for United to be losing all the remaining games and us to be winning them all. It's pretty much the situation it would need to be. I'm not going to look into
it would be quite funny if, for some reason at all, they went and lost the next two games and we won the next two.
I know
the goal difference is massive, but it would just be... You could just imagine them crawling back into their shells going, oh my days, we've just celebrated the league for the last 2 weeks. And then even if they did, at least they would be sweating so much going into that last game. It's probably not going to happen, but it would be funny.
Oh, I don't think it will happen.
Hello,
but,
Agent Jim, I've got a job for you.
I was just going to say, I mean, it's the only thing I was a wee bit disappointed about with yesterday was I kind of thought if we'd won, and then if we'd gone up to Inverness and won, then Dundee United are playing Reese. What a job he's doing, McCabe. Airdrie, you know, they've got, you know, the pressure then goes back on them. And I think it's still a bridge too far. But it would have been quite nice to have gone into the last day, say, 2 points behind or a point behind, you know, and we're sitting there watching the Arbroath game, checking our phones to see what's going on. But, you know, it wasn't to be, and we've now got, you know, a few games to get ourselves ready for the playoffs and get some confidence up. But, yeah, I mean, that was the only kind of tiny regret I had from yesterday.
I fully agree. And I think, looking back, when you look at our record against the other teams in the top three, it's, you don't, I'll caveat this, but you obviously, like, the classic meme on Twitter of the glitch in FIFA with the players lifting up no trophy and celebrating it, because it counts for absolutely hee-haw. But we've only lost one game against the other teams in the top three. And admittedly, Airdrie have absolutely tanked us in terms of performances for the top four, which totally balances it out. But yeah, it's. I think we know where our weaknesses have been this season. And I think that going in, it's all about how we react as a fan base and as a group now, just to get behind the lads. It's difficult because the next few games are going to be potentially United wrapping up the league and then looking in towards what happens in the playoffs. So you've got the next three games and then you get a week off because we're second place, which, again, just to reiterate what the club have been saying, that's still a very, very good achievement. We doubled the prize money that we've got alone last season in terms of league standings, and we're, what, 20 plus points ahead of where we were last season. Tremendous work by the club in terms of where we've been from before. Again, I said yesterday, 5 years ago to the day, we got beat at Starks 3-2. Kyle Turner scored and Joao Vitoria scored the other. In between, I think it was Innes Cameron got one for them as well. In a 3-2 last minute defeat. There was 1,200 fans at that game. Like, so that would be probably my next point to,
and I was one of
you, Callum, was just going to be the question of how important is it to sort of keep a bit of perspective about where we're at and where we're moving forward, because I thought the atmosphere yesterday was quite interesting, because there was a degree, again, I think it just naturally being Scottish football fans, there is a degree of frustration. I was commenting in the WhatsApp, you get people that will sort of say, get the ball forward, get the ball forward, and then they're screaming because there's a misdirected pass right to a Partick Thistle player. Now, people are entitled to their views, but that, for me, frustrates me, because I just want the players to be relaxed and confident in terms of going about their business. So how important is it for you that people keep perspective going into the next few games and where we're at just now?
I think it is just a case of recency bias. And a lot of people, it's like since the new board have come in, there's been this sort of rejuvenation around the club. More people care about it. Whereas beforehand with the old board, when we were in League One, we were lucky to get 2,500 outside of games against Falkirk or whatever, whoever you're in a title fight with. And so it does sort of bring a case of, it's like those people who have come in this year, they think every season's like this season, whereas people who've been around for longer, of course, they'll remember seasons that are about as good as this one, or maybe just a little bit worse, but also we'll remember the seasons where we did finish third in League One.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. it's like, that's it's like all season. I'm just, again, it's just like, I think I want to reiterate what I said in the post-Airdrie, it's just a case of enjoy it, because this doesn't come along that often when you follow us. Like, this is our best season in about a decade. We normally, for most of my life, we've been a middling championship team, where it's just like, swear to God, it was like finishing sixth or seventh just about every season. So these sort of playoff runs, fighting for the playoffs, are sort of like what I was expecting. I was expecting a playoff fight. I don't think anyone coming into the season was expecting a title fight. Like, we do have 3 games left. We can still mathematically win it, even as unlikely as it is. Weirder things have happened. But it's just, enjoy it. Just have a laugh.
I find that quite funny that a lot of the quote tweets coming out at the moment are of the post.
This is a movement.
Yeah. No, well, there's that, which I'll come on to that in a second. But I think it's very funny because a lot of people are quoting the lucky Raith Rovers tweet that we did after Tannadice, which doesn't really work because we're, what, 4 games to go? And three games to go now, and they basically managed to get 8 points ahead. So again, I don't think anyone's going to be realistically saying we're still in this. Like, I'm certain that we're going to win the league, but we've run it fairly close given the discrepancy in budgets and where we're at. For people to be pulling that up and sort of saying, "Oh, lucky Raith Rovers, how are you now?" And it's kind of proved the point that we weren't really lucky because we were still hanging in there and right up until recently over the last few games. The other point I would say is that, again, I know that Andrew Bannerman put out the tweet about this in the run of form as a movement. The evidence for that is there throughout the season. The fact that you've got Lewis Vaughan signing a new contract, Sam Stanton signing a new contract. These are players that could be picked up, could have been picked up by clubs who are bigger than ourselves in the top flight, whether that's a sort of bottom six team.
We've also got the loan deals as well, because mind, it's like players like Zach Rodden, Lee Ashcroft and that, it's like they were going to be offered more from clubs like Dunfermline, but they saw what we were building here, they saw what we've been doing over the summer. It's a long-term thing, it's not just like a one-season wonder. This is a long-term, we've seen the investment off the park, when it comes up building the facilities, and even then was still set to make a profit.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's going to be looking this summer and saying Raith Rovers are ripe for picking off the assets, much like, so look at like Partick Thistle last season, where you lose Kyle Turner, Scott Tiffany, and
Doherty and Holt.
Who was the other one? Doherty and Holt. Straight away, four players are absolutely mammoth for Partick Thistle, and they lose them off the bat. I don't feel like we're that way. I feel very, very optimistic. Now, I know that people will have different perspectives on this, and people might say this is a one-off season for Raith Rovers. I'm completely of the belief that John Potter is already out there scouting out very, very good prospects for us, whether we're going to be championship or whether we potentially go up through the playoffs, which isn't out with the realms of possibility. Again, I know that people, I would be in absolute tears in between sips of dragon soup. I think that people would, it's very interesting because obviously the focus is all about Airdrie right now and how well Airdrie are doing, which is understandable because they beat us, they beat Dunfermline, they're in a really good place. For me, they feel very similar to what we were like under Ray McKinnon. That season that we got into the playoffs and there was Hibs and
Falkirk
in there, along with, was it Kilmarnock?
Rangers or St Mirren?
Kelly beat Falkirk in the final. Falkirk beat Hibs. We lost to Hibs.
Yeah, yeah. They strike me as being like we were at the end of that season when we were on a stupidly good run of form. But it came up short. Now, obviously, there's still going to be, we were not a Hibs team that featured Scott Allen and John McGinn and Anthony Stokes. I'll put that out there straight away. But I feel like it's very easy to get caught up in the statistics of these and to sort of think, oh, this is a completely unassailable task. Like, I feel like we should still be going in full of confidence. And again, against Partick Thistle, we've not lost to them this season. That's going to count for nothing in the sense of, the playoffs, anything can happen. So, yeah, Airdrie will naturally feel confident going into them if that's where we end up. But, yeah, just I think it's very important to sort of keep that in mind. Leslie, I just want to get your thoughts on where we're at just now. How are you finding things?
I mean, I think you will get the narrative from other fans of other teams. Oh, you's bottled it, you's shot it. I think the fact that it's only very recently that Dundee United start to pull ahead, and the fact that nobody apart from Airdrie has actually really significantly closed that gap would tend to suggest otherwise. So I was kind of ranting a bit about this in the group chat the other day. And this happens pretty much every season in the Championship when you get that final round of fixtures and it gets very hard, really, for anybody to move. And I think that's a feature rather than a bug. If everybody playing each other four times, you do tend to get a few wild card results over the piece. It tends to sort of even out. I mean, the other thing to mention as well is we've had this happen every season with the big stack bullies, the team that have come down, thinking that we're going to be in a title fight, and then when the pressure starts to alleviate from them just really starting to batter teams. So we remember the Hearts team that came down, and the shortened season where we were running them close for a while. And then when ourselves and Dundee started to fall away a bit, you know, they started to ease up a bit, and then they just started blowing teams out of the water. You even had Kilmarnock, you know, when Arbroath were running them closer, were Kilmarnock fans moaning about Derek McInnes, questioning if he was the right man to take them forwards. This happens every season. And, you know, it's not, I would say it's not necessarily us bottling it. It's just this tends to be what happens. It is, I won't lie, it is disappointing that we've not been able to kind of keep it up a bit longer. But you know, there's a lot of quality there that we've got on the side. If we can keep our defenders fit, if we're able to get Scott Brown at the base of the midfield, I suspect over the next few games we might see the manager trying out a few things further up the pitch, which is absolutely fine. But no, I mean, there's a lot to be optimistic about. And just, you know, you were talking as well about that Ray McKinnon season. I'm going to pull up one instance. How funny was it when Jason Cummings shot clean over the bar from like 1 metre away from goal and then got immediately subbed off immediately afterwards? That was prime shot banter in front of the North Stand.
You know what was funny about that season was that from a Hibs perspective, I was working with a couple of Hibs at the time, and it was very interesting because that season for them was horrendous up until the Scottish Cup final. Like, they got to the final, which is obviously spectacular. But you think about it, you go through a season, Rangers waltz through the league, and then you go into the playoffs, you beat Rafe, and then you come up against Falkirk, where Bob McHugh pings one in off the post in the final minute to take them into the playoff finals. And then after that, you go into a Scottish Cup final against Rangers, who you're not expected to win. You've had your rivals gloat at you for years since 1902. And then you have the best day of your footballing lives, which will never get taken away from you. So, yeah, I think that it's a very valid point. And again, the thing about Raith Rovers right now is that there's going to be no shortage of people that are queuing up to tell us how terrible we are and how awful we are after social media and having a bit of a laugh. And it was interesting to see Andrew Barrowman's thoughts on it last night, just about how people are interacting with us at the moment. But again, as I said, very much fly with the crows, shot with the crows. We were all fully on board with that. We said that's a podcast. Blair in particular, myself, Duncan, we've all put pretty big statements out there, and you know, they've not been right, and you've just got to accept it. Nobody's getting upset about it. Nobody's chucking the toys out the pram. So just embrace where we're at and just say, yeah, we've got a few games to go. For the next three games, Scott, what would you sort of focus on the pitch-wise? Is there anything that you would be quite interested to see Rovers try out? I know that Leslie mentioned that potentially in the playoffs, if it was St Johnstone that we played, we're going to be a man down. Or if it's going to be Ross County, we'll be missing a certain Mr. Turner. If we did manage to get to the final, if it's St Johnstone, it'll be James Brown. He'd mentioned about getting potential Ross Matthews, give him a trial run at right back again. Is there anything that you would have in mind for the next few games if we slipped away from the league title race?
Well, if you're going after today's results, which we are recording Sunday evening, and Ross County have beaten Rangers today, I wouldn't rule out that Aberdeen could be involved in this playoff, and then we've got both players available. But I think realistically, if we're going into the playoffs and we do manage to get by that first playoff game and into the final, then yeah, we're likely going to miss one player out of the two. But yeah, I mean, whether you plan for that, I think you probably do plan for it in training. Whether he does it in games, I don't know. If at all, he might do it in the last game of the season. I would suspect that he maybe goes right. Because, well, I mean, by the time we get round to that, you're probably at least two games into the split for the SPL. So you're probably getting more of a picture who's going to be involved in that. So if you get to that stage, then you could maybe look at either a Scott McGill or a Ross Matthews at right back, see how he gets on. We've already seen both of them play full back this season, but it's been a while since McGill's played any football, like serious minutes anyway. And then also for Matthews, mm-hmm. He's played one game there this season. So again, to be asking him to then go against either Partick or Airdrie for two legs. Against one of the SPL teams, if we got to that, then yeah, it'd be quite a tough ask. But I think there's been one sort of thing that a lot of people, especially between us as the folk in the podcast have been chatting about, is that would you try in one of these three games, if not more than one game, Ruddon and Hamilton together just to see if it would do anything at all? Because it's one thing that I actually would have liked to try against Airdrie, because I think Airdrie are the only team this season that they are the only team that we've kind of not beaten this season. So it's the only thing we've really not tried against them this season. So it's something else that I'd like to see and see if, can these guys work together? Can they play together? Your only issue is that we would have seen it by now if Murray believed that it would work. The fact that he never even tried it when we were 2-0 down, he actually brought Hamilton off and brought Ruddon on. That, I think that was also quite telling, that he clearly doesn't believe that the two of them could play together. I might be completely wrong and he might try it at some point, but I think we would have seen it at some point by now. But yeah, I think in general though, just going back on what you guys have said anyway, that second spot is already an overachievement by us, considering the board had basically, I'm sure they came out at the start of the season and said that they'd budgeted for fourth. Was what they basically came out and said. So anything higher than fourth was going to be a bonus. Anything lower than you wasn't going to be ideal. That we weren't going to be terribly like in a bad financial situation if we were finishing fifth. But I think it's just a testament to the squad and to the coaching staff as well, that just the club have been in a really good situation all season long. Since basically, I mean, it was all rumoured, was it not, about this time last year that this was happening in terms of the board coming in, Faculty, John Potter coming in. Everything was all getting rumoured, and then in about a few weeks' time, it will be about a year to the day of them being at the last league game of the season and then getting announced. So already that's been a year, and I tell you what a hell of a year it's been. I mean, it's been one of the most fun seasons that I can remember, probably since, I mean, the title run with Dunfermline was a good season, but at the same time, fizzled out really quickly after that game against them. I think this season just has been fun for literally the word go. I mean, the first game of the season, that comeback almost just, that was like, right, if this is what the season's going to be like, I'm all for it, because this is going to be mental. So, no, fair play to the guys. I really hope for some of these guys, especially the likes of Vonnie and Matthews that have been with the club for so long, if we got promoted, they two are the two that are at the top of my list that I'd feel so happy for, because they've been with the club relegated and back up again, and it would just be unreal for them to say that they then took the Rovers up for the first time. Well, we got relegated the year I was born, so I've not seen them in the top flight.
I think that, there's a few points to pick out from that. Firstly, going all the way back to the start there, Ruddon and Hamilton, I think that, that's definitely one to take a look at. When you talk about Airdrie, one thing that was interesting was reading about how Airdrie have performed against Ayr. And a few of the Airdrie fans sort of calling out that Ayr basically dominated them on set pieces and then corners to get the wins for those games. Just what a crazy year in terms of Raith Rovers and where we're at. And it was funny walking along the prom earlier, because I remember sort of like hearing the news about the takeover and looking back and hearing rumours during the summer that we were signing players like potentially Josh Mullen and things like that. You get wee bits and bobs through the grapevine, and then it comes out about who's potentially signing, and the whole build up to the sort of change in the strategy in the social media, the sort of announcement cartoons that we had at the time for these new signings.
Dick extension.
Yeah, well, that I was set thinking, the tone. You have that, and then you've got Kevin Dabrowski, Josh Mullen, Jack Hamilton all coming in. And it was just a real change, a sort of tone, and the atmosphere about the club is so different, and it's been such a pleasure to be a part of. And just really just so many good memories. I know that you touched on right from the start, you have the comeback against Partick Thistle in the league. We had the League Cup where we have the disappointment on penalties against Dunfermline, getting the draw there, and then to still get out the group at their expense, very, very funny. Then you go on, and again, to reiterate that at the start of the league season, Ewan Murray comes in, we sign him just before that game against Partick. We've got a bit of time now to potentially, I know that the season's going to go on longer because we've got the playoffs, but we've got the time now to potentially build, regardless of which league that we're in, where we can get a bit of potential. We're using the stability that we've got, the momentum that we've got, and we're going to be potentially driving forward. And I think a lot of players will look at us and see us a club that's on the up, that we've got a lot of potential for moving forward. And really interested to hear the thoughts of everyone on the podcast or Rovers fans about what happens over the next coming month or so, and just where we're going in the direction of the club. So, yeah, a lot to be positive about there. That is going to wrap up things for this evening. Tomorrow there will be the Club 1883 Q&A we've got Rurik O'Gower, Andrew Barriman, John Potter, Andy and Murray all answering questions from Club 1883 members, those that have been submitted online, and then a bit of a forum at the end, which will be very interesting here as well, just in terms of both on the pitch and off the pitch, some of the thoughts that they're having at the moment. Other than that, we will be back later on this week with a preview for the match against Cali Thistle. That will be this Friday. Thanks for taking the time to listen. As ever, you can find us on Twitter. We've got the Instagram that's run by Carol. There is, of course, the Etsy shop if you want to check out some of the merchandise that we do have there. But in the meantime, we will be back, as I say, before the Cali game with a full preview looking ahead to that. So thanks for taking the time to listen, and bye for now.